Praise the Lord. It's always good to be in the house of God. Amen. Yeah. Shall we stand? And let us read John chapter 5, verse 30. You know, you can be tired, you can be weary, stressed up, maybe by the business of the day. But there's something about being in the house of God, being in the presence of God. As you sing, as you worship, I hope that lifts off your burdens. John 5, verse 30. And we are looking at the true witness. A continuation of what we are reflecting on in the series, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. John 5, verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that we have read. And as I reflect and share this with my brothers and sisters, anoint our hearts, O God, that these won't just be words, but let it be something, a doorway that the Holy Spirit can open before us to be able to behold and see the treasures and the riches of your word. Grant it, Lord. Help me in Jesus' name. Amen. We may be seated. Now, on Sunday, I mentioned that the way you view this world, you could be viewing it through the eyes of someone, through the opinion of what someone has done. And how you perceive the reality has a strong impact on the way you live. We can see this in everything we do, in the culture that people have. There are certain things we do here in Zambia. We've grown up doing that because it's culture. Someone mentioned something, and culturally, those traits follow on. It could be through the way people dress. We grow up, most of the times, dressing a certain way because of the influences around us. And that might not harm or injure anyone, but it comes to a certain layer where it's not just something which is going to affect the way you dress, maybe the way you talk, but there are things that can affect our spiritual destiny. And we're looking at what you believe, what you have in your mind. Amen. And your life is a witness, it's a testimony to something that you believe. Now, there are certain things, you do them, you've never questioned them, but because, well, that's what your society does. But here is something. In verse 30, Jesus says, I can of mine own self do nothing. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, the Son of God. He says, I can't do anything of my own self. Now, what we do is based on our worldview. If you believe there is God, you'll be going to church. You'll be worshiping, right? If you don't believe that there is God, It will show in your character. Now, you have some sort of a testimony. So, the person who says there's no God, probably maybe he heard from Richard Dawkins, maybe he read some books on atheism. Like the other time, Brother Nzima was telling us of a friend he used to have at school, Chizongwe. And after many years, this young man grows up into a man, and they happen to get into a conversation with Brother Nzima. In secondary school, there are things they talked about. There's a way they lived their lifestyles. And this young man was in Zambia. He lived as a Zambian. What is typical of a Zambian? Zambians are religious people, isn't it? He obviously grew up in a home environment. But later on, as the story goes, I think he had a scholarship, went to Russia. Like many of our young people, at a certain point, they're given a scholarship. They can study in Europe or Russia. And he went to Russia. And Brother Nzima, in getting into a conversation with this person, he couldn't believe how the fellow is a full-blown atheist. And in this WhatsApp group, this man was so vehement, so energetic in tearing down issues of faith and religion. It's like he now has some higher level kind of knowledge, and all these other friends who haven't been exposed to that, well, they are wondering, wow, our friend no longer believes in God and he has this energy in trying to ridicule religion and all that. Now, do you realize that in Russia, in Europe, that's a kind of environment you find? There are certain things, obviously, he heard lecturers talk about. His friends, a new environment wherever he was in Russia, made him begin to question certain things. He started looking at the world through a different lens. And well, he now feels he has truth. Are you seeing how another person's view can affect what you believe? Right? A child can be raised up in a God-believing home. The parents can do whatever they can in trying to raise up a child to be God-fearing. But there comes a point when this child graduates to another level. Another level where they get into a school system and they learn about this philosophy and that theory. They learn about empirical evidence. And well, this person who was once mama's or papa's beloved religious child now begins to feel like, I have a better view of the world than what they raised me believing. And that is happening to many. Now, what is going on and what is happening? Is it really that this person has suddenly come to enlightenment? Or could it be when they were growing up, what they thought was a Christian experience was just a tradition? Their hearts and minds had never really come into contact with the true knowledge of God. Because you need to know, there are also many children who were raised up in an environment of atheists in Europe, and there are many testimonies to that effect. They grew up in an atheistic environment. Then later on, they encountered something that made them question atheism. And for the first time, wow, their thoughts were shaken. And now they believed there is God. Now, our young children here, or even youths, can say, well, I don't have a problem with that. I believe in God. Do they really believe in God? What makes them believe in God? Until one has an experience of the touch of God. They are standing on what the Lord Jesus said, building on sand. Now, you know, some villages we've been to, Rufunsa, Chatama, Mtengulene, you can see a certain house, it has stood for many years. Thatched house, maybe. It's been standing for 10 years, 15 years. How long it has been standing could not necessarily be testimony of it being founded on a strong foundation. It could be there hasn't been a strong wind enough to expose its weakness. Right? So we don't want just to be satisfied with, I have been a believer for many years. Because a weak structure can seem to stand for very long. But if we ever experienced something we usually hear from the Western world, like a tornado, a hurricane, most of the what we call thatched houses in these villages, they won't stand a chance, right? You get the point? So, what testimony am I looking for? I need to be a house that is founded on the rock. Built on the rock. What is that? It's a Christian life that is grounded on being filled with the Holy Spirit. You have a personal experience. It's not something which was handed down to you. Because someone can look like a good boy simply because there hasn't been an opportunity to be away from the watchful eye of the parents. And when the eye of a parent is not there, oh my, only the heavens know what that person is doing. When we come to a public place like this, we come to hear the word of God. Others come with reverence, say, oh, it's time to be in the house of God. I need to stop whatever I am doing. Others, it's just a religious obligation. Oh, today's church. I need to be there. I hope that's not our experience. But here is something. How you view the world is going to affect how you make your decisions, how you live your life. And you live life by someone's testimony. You know, usually at home, when one feels maybe a little stomach upset or gases, I would tell my boys, can you drink warm water? Yeah, drink warm water. And afterwards, you feel a little relief. So, well, I've been doing that. Usually my routine is when I wake up, I always drink a cup of warm water, okay? It's a good start of a day for me, and I've become used with that. And when anyone at home, you know, maybe they feel a little discomfort, I'll tell them, okay, can you drink a cup of warm water, Where did I get that from? From my mother. And hearing it, of course, from other people. So now what happened today when the boys came home? Rohama also was at home. I think she was complaining of some stomach upset. So I thought, you know, they were here. But later on, I think overheard them talking. She says, I'm having a little stomach upset. And Terry says, you need to drink warm water. Let me do some warm water for you. Well, where did he get that from? It is something he has done. And he got it from me. Whenever, you know, he feels something like that, I'll tell him to drink warm water. And in overhearing that, I say, oh my, I'm hearing my voice in what he's doing. He's come to believe that and is telling it to the girl. Later on, as I was done with my prayers, walked in the living room. I said, hey, how are you feeling? He says, oh, Terry told me to drink warm water and I'm feeling good. I'm now okay. Rest assured, the lesson won't end there. If there's a tomorrow, probably she'll grow up with that. And maybe someday she'll meet someone saying, hey, I feel gases or I'm not feeling good. She says, hey, drink warm water. Now, that is just one example which shows how there are certain behaviors, certain attitudes we have, which are really being passed on from one generation to another. So now, when I see a problem, I see it through the view of certain wisdom which has been passed on to me, and maybe I'm passing it on to another person. Now here it is. That is why you need to watch your life. It's not just what you speak, but your life is bearing testimony of something. Maybe it's affecting or influencing someone in a certain way. Right? Now you could influence another person in a bad way or in a good way. But here it is. There is no greater witness than the witness of God, where God says, this is my son. You hear what he speaks. Hey, that's a great witness for God to do on someone. Because all humanity is searching. I mean, there's no single human being on earth who can say he was there when God was saying, let there be this, let there be that, and all that. Human beings on this side of the flesh, everyone is blind. We can only have a correct and truthful view of reality through the eyes of the one who engineered everything. But if one comes into a room, a laboratory, which has all sorts of apparatus, and somehow he thinks he's smart. He knows about this and that. And then he has no idea of chemistry or whatever this laboratory is all about. It won't be long before he finds a knob and he feels, when we tune it this way, what can happen? Now, that's one thing you don't want to do in a laboratory. Those who had a chance to go through school and enter a laboratory, before you do anything, I think one of the first lessons they teach you are the do's and the don'ts, right? How you need to dress up, things you're supposed to do, don't touch this, don't do that, because in a laboratory, the chemicals which you see around you, they're very useful things, but any simple mistake, it can lead to catastrophic results, right? So, if you're going to experiment with a certain chemical and all that, you need to tune a knob maybe to a certain precise point. Maybe you need to balance it up with this and with that. And there's a way you set up apparatus and all that. And this is how the world is. This is how the earth is. We all came here. No one can say, I was the first one here. And I know how this is all about. We found ourselves in a world, and others feel it is my life. I can live the way I want to live. But others have enough sense to know that, hey, there's a creator who set up all these things. And The correct way to view life is through his eyes, how he wants things to be done, right? And here Jesus says, I can of mine own self do nothing. Now listen, the words that follow. As I hear, I judge. As I hear, I, meaning my judgment is not based on my opinions or how I look at something, but I hear what the Father is speaking. What he tells me, the information that comes to my heart is what I use to make a judgment about a situation. Because our own eyes, our own ears can completely misjudge a situation. And that is why it's very easy for us to misjudge or misunderstand each other. It's inevitable because we are in these earth suits. And we only peep into reality through these two tiny windows we call eyes. And believe me you, there's so much we are ignorant of. There's so much I'm ignorant about what's going on in your life, what goes on in your heart, or what is happening elsewhere. I mean, right whilst we're here, we don't know what's happening in the house. You don't know what's happening, just the wall behind. There could be a thief doing something. This body gives you a very limited view of life. I read Nelson Mandela in his book, Long Way to Freedom. He talks about how solitary confinement is so torturous. You know what solitary confinement is in prison? They exclude you, take you from your fellow prisoners, lock you up in a room. There's this particular room, he says, I think it had no window. He didn't know what time of the day it was. Can you imagine that? You are in a room, no window, no streak of light for you to know now it's morning. Now it is day. He says, it's a punishment they give if they notice you could be troublesome. Solitary confinement. He says, I realized solitary confinement is more painful. He says, and when you are all alone, you lose the sense of time. The loneliness, he says, it's so tormenting. And he says, thoughts can start playing tricks on you. He said, I missed speaking to another human being so much that if I saw a cockroach, I would want to have a conversation with it. He says, it's so painful. Until he would rather do some stupid thing so that he can be given a whip. He says, I missed even being whipped just to have human contact and communication with another. You prefer just going out and saying, hello, hi. Whether it is punishment or whatever it is, he says, your mind can easily break down. We were made to be in fellowship with one another. It's God who put it there. Amen? Yeah. That is why God said, multiply, be fruitful. God desired a family from the beginning. Oh, you think, what is the millennium all about? You think in the millennium we'll be discussing a new mystery about seals. Will that have any relevance? What are the seals? The seals tell us about the work of the Antichrist, how the church fell and all that. These are great things, but it's not something that excites God. It's actually a sad picture of our human history, right? God is simple. The things he created us for in the beginning is so simple. It's about love. It's about humility. It's about fellowship. It's about experiencing joy. Do you realize these are the most important things in this world? Look at the madness which is happening over the Strait of Hormuz. Today this is agreed. Another day, there's a disagreement. Another day, firing at each other. Another day, hey, these are human beings. You cut their body, it's red blood which will flow out. American blood, Arab blood, Jewish blood, It's all red. It all has red blood cells. All white blood cells. But you know what causes the delusion? We are all in little small prison houses, right? That house is painted white. Another house is painted brown. And somehow you feel, that is not me. This is not their area. This is our region. And the landlord is just watching what has become of precious creatures who are supposed to live in harmony and in love, right? Well, one day it shall be a reality. Jesus says, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. So what makes his judgment righteous, just? Is it because he is wise as a human being? He has studied more philosophy. He can outsmart others. Is that really the reason? He says, my judgment is right. It's just. What makes his judgment right? Remember what I said on Sunday. There's nothing wrong with judging. The issue is, how are you judging? You know what makes the judgment of Jesus right? Because he says, I hear from the Father. And that is what inspires or informs the way I judge things. Let us never rely on our minds, no matter how experienced we are. That is why when we were going as an advance party in Chongwe, where the crusade is starting next week, our minds were, want to go see the place, we see the headman and all that, but we were not prepared for what we experienced there. Amen. Now, you can go there by a script. No, this is what we've come to do. This program, that program, and that program. But I pray we can have an attitude and a place in us which is ready to adjust and to act in the moment what God wants you to do. Yeah. And verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Yeah. You know, there are theories you can establish because of what you've seen, points you've connected, and you create a beautiful picture. So yeah, when this happens, that happens and all that. You know, that is what university is all about, what you call PhD and professors. Someone spends a great deal of time studying. If it's in the school of humanities, you study how human beings behave, you give out questionnaires, you try to observe, you want to see what pattern is forming, what formula can you create out of this situation. And then after all this thorough research, analysis, comparisons and all that, you come up with a thesis, you come up with your conclusions. Those conclusions you are drawing is based on things you feel are a witness. Things which you feel are a testimony. Okay? So when you research, you ask people questions, you analyze, you do all this thing. You've really come up with a testimony or a witness. And well, there will be a panel of people who will walk or read through what you've researched. They'll try to critique it. They'll try to analyze it, dissect it, ask you questions. And well, if they feel, I think this is true. It's a true research. It's a true testimony. It's a true witness. Now, it's these other people who are giving a witness and a testimony to say, oh, yeah, this indeed is knowledge. And so you will pass that examination. So you'll be conferred a doctorate. You'll be conferred maybe professorship. And that is going to inspire a generation on how they need to do something, how they need to handle a certain problem. And so it will affect human beings in the way they look at a certain problem based on facts you've gathered and how you have interpreted them. But I can tell you this. After some time, someone is going to come up with a better research than you. And that research work will become obsolete. Look at how great Isaac Newton was. He taught us something about gravity. But when Albert Einstein came later on, he came up with a theory of relativity and gave better explanations concerning certain things which Isaac Newton had started on. That doesn't take away the honor from Isaac Newton, but science has been very progressive. It depends on what someone has discovered, and whatever they discover, many times it will correct certain things which they previously thought. To say, no, there's now more light on this. Now, there is a great testimony, and that is of God. Why? He is the chief architect of everything. Whatever scientists can discover, it's just a peep into the works of God. And now he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. That is why, let every man be a liar, but God be the truth. He's the only one who can give a true witness. Because whatever we see are the works of his hands. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be served. Now, that's very important. He says, these things I say that ye might be served. If someone comes up with knowledge that tells us how to move faster using a vehicle, using an aeroplane, that is something which will facilitate movements and all that. It affects the flesh. That's not what we're talking about. We're looking at a greater testimony, which when you believe that witness and that testimony, it is something which affects your salvation. So we can't just take matters of belief carelessly. He was a burning and a shining light. John the Baptist was. He became a witness, a testimony in his day. Do you know you're supposed to be a light, a burning fire in your generation? You don't have to be to the whole world or a whole country. In whatever little environment God has placed you in, you must be a burning fire, a flame that gives testimony of the light of God. Yeah. So, he was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. That's what they did. They only could rejoice for a season. Why? Because these people were waiting for a political messiah, someone who would deliver the country from the Roman regime. So they looked at John the Baptist, they were excited, moved over to the place where he was baptizing people, and they were excited. But what were they looking at when they saw John? What was their world view? What were they seeing? What were they hearing? Yes, the words which were they were hearing were words of truth. But listen, no matter how correct or truthful the words which are coming to you, if the lens you have in your eyes and in your mind has been influenced, distorted by a corrupt worldview, even that truth which you hear can't help you. Hallelujah. Because the truth on its own never sets anyone free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So it is the knowledge of the truth that sets you free. One can have a weapon in his hands. If he lacks knowledge on how to use it, bandits can come. He doesn't know how to hold a gun or how to hold a sword. He can be killed, because it's not a gun that saves you. It's the knowledge of that gun. Are we together? So you shall know. In other words, you shall have knowledge of the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. Hear me. Never reduce your life to always look around for the approval of man. You will live a very miserable life. Never do that. Your number one concern should be God's testimony and witness of you. That's more important. Because if I am in the habit of feeling motivated when someone praises me, one day I'll be completely crushed when everyone opposes me. But isn't that our calling as believers? That the world will ridicule us? Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. The people who ridiculed him were religious people. If his ground, his rock, was based on how people, what people are commenting about him. Remember what the Bible says? A lot of people believed in him. They wanted to follow him. But the Bible says he never committed himself to any of them because he knew the heart of man. Let me close with this testimony. The last meeting we had in planning for this crusade, we were reviewing on the Mtenguleni crusade, things which were success points, things which could have been done better. So you know how every crusade has different departments. The department that handles power and fuel, another department which handles food, another department which handles evangelism, another department which handles all these different things. So we're going, when we came to transport and power, we tried to review what happened. How was that managed? Who was in charge? And in the course of talking about it, I got to hear testimonies I haven't heard. This time, the young man Laxon was part of the meeting because he's been part of the, you know, ground soldiers who try to go evangelize, pass on the news and all that. So this time, everyone was putting in his comment on what challenges they met on the ground and what needs to be done. And this is what he said, and it was my first time hearing it. He says, you know, there were so many testimonies which even haven't been mentioned of what happened in Mtenguleni. So I told him, hey, what happened? You haven't told me. What is it that I haven't yet heard? And I am glad there isn't so much focus and overemphasis on those things. I'm happy when people are growing up in the faith like that. And he opened up, he says, one day we were walking in the road as we were evangelizing. And then there's a man. As we approached him, he said, as he was seeing them coming, he saw a light following them. These are people who know nothing about the entire message, because entire message is the one which talks about the pillar of fire and things like that, right? Amen. Who are these brothers whom a non-believer in a village said, I saw a light on you, on these two brothers? Someone who is not born again. And you know what? It could be, it's the first time you're hearing this. And Brother Laxon was saying, there are many testimonies, you know, which were going on. Whoever saw that light, when they come to the knowledge of the truth and say, I want to be baptized, I want to be part of this fellowship, you know what has brought them? A witness, a testimony. I think that is profoundly important. Amen? But when people come to a church because, and this is very common in our Zambian culture, people belong, especially in villages, people want to belong to a church for social security. Meaning, when I die, there have to be people who need to bury me, or in case I have a funeral in the home,
You know, those things are very important in the village, right? Uniform. They'll be given work to dig, to make gardens and all that, just for them to be given a uniform which shows I am a member of the church. In Rufunsa, we had to tear that down through continuous preaching to say there is no salvation in a church uniform. Amen. All right, I think let us just conclude with Acts 1 verse 8 and then we can close. Let this be our prayer as we go for the crusade next week. Acts 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Did you hear what Jesus said? You become witnesses when you receive that Spirit of God. For lack of a better term, the Holy Spirit is God living in you. Only then can you become a true witness. Any person who hasn't had an experience of the Holy Spirit has a false testimony, because we can't effectively testify of that which we haven't tested of. Brother Mansa talked about prayers we'll be having from Monday. We'll be meeting here every day. If you can, I'm saying if you can because some of you go for work, do a fast. If you're very busy, you can skip your breakfast or maybe together with lunch or maybe eat later on. But just consecrate your mind. Commit time to say, I will be praying for someone. Crusades can be big surprises. You don't know. This is one crusade. We don't know what number will be there. I was telling Brother Nzima, we don't have time. We've really done things quite in a short period of time. Let us do it as quickly as possible tomorrow morning, because today it was really full of running up and down. But I'm glad we've secured the tent. Yeah. We've secured chairs. And flyers are being printed. The gentleman has been calling me. Teddy needs to quickly rush and collect the flyers, because tomorrow early in the morning they need to be given to the brothers. But let's have the faith that someone will have a change of life, a new chapter of life through these meetings. It's exciting to see lives changed. Amen? Because it's families getting changed. And you young man who will be picked from school on Friday, study the best you can at school, because we're going to have a busy weekend. So do whatever you have to do so that that day you're not found with school backlog, okay? So between now and Thursday, Joshua and Ntalalisha, do whatever you have to do at school, because like Uncle Mas has told you, Friday, you'll be VIPs. You know what a VIP is? Joshua, do you know what a VIP is? You know, when you are in our homes, we tell you, have you done this? Have you? But that day, a vehicle will be waiting for you. Hey, that's how important a skill is in the house of God. That's how important it is for that vehicle to come and pick you. As you go to the crusade, as you play the piano, as you play the guitar, do it to the glory of God. The person who does the work on a crusade is not just a preacher. It's a person on the piano. It's a person on the bass guitar. It's the person ushering. It's a teamwork we are doing, right? During the day, evangelism. Let it be your prayer. Lord, use me during this crusade. That as I sing, as I play these instruments, let your presence come down. That's your area of prayer and fasting. Just praying in that area, right? Like I'm praying, Lord, give me a word that as I speak, it can shake the evil, ugly foundations of darkness in people's hearts. Everyone has to pray according to the role you have, that you do it excellently. The song leader, let him pray and fast. As I sing this song, let it penetrate and cut through to the hearts. Hallelujah. And by the way, we've been able to secure 2 houses for rent. Hallelujah. You know, I was... I was really scared to hear the money for rent. I said, how much will it be? And Brother Nzima sent pictures and all that. I said, okay, this is good because we wanted to get a whole yard, you know, so that, because that is going to be a focal point of missions work the next month or so. We don't know what the Lord will do, right? He said, from yesterday I've been telling him, what's the price for the rent, brother? He says, no, the man is not picking. Then finally the rent came. He says, oh, 300 kwacha per month. I said, what? I said, what? So Brother Nzima says, no, I tried to reduce it. I said, no. That's not my surprise. I said, no, Brother Nzima, just leave it there. Later on he texted me, he says, no, I managed to reduce it to 250. I said, wow. That's quite a negotiator, you know. Praise the Lord, amen. You know, when it happens like that, let me encourage you with something. You want to be on fire for God, don't be in a place where a church is already established and it's full. New churches, they put you in a place where you need to regrow with the new believers. It makes you start fasting. It makes you start counseling people and all that. So it puts that flame. So it's a beautiful thing. What Brother Kashala is doing, you know, in Mwembeshi. When you see Brother Kashala sharing now, it's so different from the way he used to be. Why? Responsibility. Right, shall we stand? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to gather and reflecting on these precious truths which we can read out of your word. And now, Lord, as we go back to our homes, fill the hearts of my brothers and sisters with that zeal and joy concerning the crusade, Lord. Hallelujah. We want to be expectant, Lord, because it's always been wonderful in these meetings to see your hand do work, oh Lord. So exciting always. And like little children, Lord, we are waiting for that. Forgive us our sins, Lord, and many times we've fallen short of what you desire of us. Forgive us, Lord. As we go for this crusade, Lord, we want to go as little children who can learn, who can be led by your Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ and him alone may manifest in the gatherings of these people. Let testimonies be the banner to shake all these villages. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen.